Blog Talk Radio.
I was tired of that music. I am so sorry. Welcome to Desperate House Witches. I'm Raina Starcy. You don't have to be. Desperate House Witches is not a G, PG, or even an R-rated show. So, bad language, bodily function, dirty talk of any kind might upset you. This is not the show for you, but that's why you tune in, and I know it, and you know it. So anyway, Desperate House Witches is brought to you by my favorite witch, the amazing Dorothy Morrison. Please go to dorothymorrison.com for all things Dorothy Morrison, and she's my guest today, so yay! But we'll get to that in a second as well. Just wanted to remind everybody that Mystic South 2024 is happening in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia, July 26th through 28th. This year's headliners are Wendy Mata, Sam Elias, and Morgan Daimler. I am going to be looking for y'all to be there, so hit me up, mysticsouth.com. All right, the lady of the hour, whose birthday month it is, please join me in wishing a very happy birthday and a very merry welcome to Dorothy Morrison. Woo-hoo!
Thank you for having me on.
Coming back.
It's always so good to visit with you.
I love it. I miss you so much. I haven't seen you in years. It's like, oh, I wish I was closer, but that would be nothing but trouble because I would not be able to contain myself. How are you doing?
Well,
what's going on?
Well, I'm old, and I'm feeling old these days.
I'm sorry. I'm right behind you.
Well, I just realized that it was probably a good time for me to close the business because I'm just not able to get as much done as I used to, and, you know, in the same amount of time. And that is really, really aggravating to me. And so, anyway, you know, my retirement started out with right in the middle of closing the business, Mark hurt his back. And he hurt it doing yard work that I did not want done, not ever. And so there were doctor's appointments. And, I mean, it was really, really bad. I mean, he has a herniated disc, and there were doctor's appointments, and then there was physical therapy, and now there are epidural shots. And so he's had one round of lumbar shots, two rounds of nerve blockers. He gets the third round of nerve blocking shots on the 30th, and they're actually putting him under for that. And then if that doesn't work well, then we're going to talk about surgery with clipping this nerve. And so he is, I mean, this started the middle of February, and he is still not up to par. He's having good days and bad days. And the problem with Mark, like I think all men, is that they feel a little better, and then they way overdo things. And then the next few days, you know, they have to try to recuperate. And he had gotten, he had me to get one of those little sit-fit things where it's like, kind of like a like riding a bicycle, but it's a little bitty thing that goes under your desk or under your table or whatever. And I told him that I thought that was, you know, exacerbating his problem. And he would not listen to me. And finally, his doctor told him to stop, and so then he finally did. But, you know, he could have saved the fee of going to the doctor's office if he just listened to me, but he didn't.
I know.
So there you have that. So that's how my retirement has been going. That's
wow. No rest. Just no rest, huh?
Well, not for the wicked or the weary. So.
So retirement will mean relaxation, and it doesn't necessarily happen that way, does it?
Well, no, it doesn't. And you know, and the second I think that you stop being so busy that there aren't enough hours in the day, I think your body finally catches up with you, because now I've got crazy old age maladies like, I have slightly high cholesterol. And enough so that they put me on medication. But they wanted me to go on this Mediterranean diet. And I told the doctor straight up, I'm not doing it. And so when I got my patient notes back, I told her, just give me the medication. When they gave me the patient notes back, it said that patient will go on this Mediterranean diet.
Wow.
And there was no prescription called in. And so I went back a month later, and I told her, I said, I don't know what you were thinking, but I told you I was not going to do this. Not even the appearance of the apocalyptic horses were going to make me go on that diet. It is like one step up from a vegan diet. I'm not doing it. Give me the medication. And she kind of looked at me, and I said, wouldn't you rather one of your patients tell you they weren't going to do something instead of just pretending they did and it wasn't working?
Right.
And she said, well, yes. And so now I've got that. And I also have to check my blood pressure every day. But I think if my husband will get well and quit overdoing, I think my blood pressure would go down. So.
Well, not unlike you. I am also on medication now, not for high cholesterol, but for high blood pressure, which I never had in my entire life. And I'm on a small dose of Losartan for that. It's the smallest dose they offer. And, you know, just life for me has been so chaotic over the past couple of years between accidents and family members dying and trees falling and power going out and storms blowing through. And I mean, the last few months have been, and I want to thank everybody who has asked and who listens and still hangs out and supports the show, because it has been chaotic. And I have missed a number of shows because Blog Talk Radio was down for 3.5-4 weeks. And I was like, I said to them, honestly, I said, you know, y'all have to figure this out, because I've been with you for over 12 years, and I don't want to move my fucking show, or you better fix it, which they did, finally.
Hooray.
But it is.
Well, you know.
Yeah,
some,
but it's been bad. Yeah.
You know, sometimes, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the most grace. That's, you know. I mean, I am sure that there were other people, you know, that you weren't the only of their clients who were having a fit, because lots of folks use Blog Talk. But, you know, I wonder, you know, you may have been one of the few who called them and said, by God, you know, get with the program, get on the stick and do something here.
Yeah. I was about to start asking for money back, and I think they knew that was coming. And they were like, oh, shit, we better shut this one up, fix the situation. I'm like, yeah. And like you, I am also having to test my blood pressure daily. I have two blood pressure cups because, of course, your dumbass friend here lost the first one she bought. So I had to buy another one. And it's like, here we go. What kind of day have we had?
Well, you know, I am on a low dose of Losartan, too, okay? And I'm supposed to take my blood pressure every day. But I did that for several weeks. And then my blood pressure came down, and I was supposed to send them, you know, text, you know, a week at a time to them. And I finally decided, this is ridiculous. I'm just not going to do that anymore. I'm, you know, I'm okay. I've got too many other things going on.
Right.
They will know. Yeah, you know. Yeah, well, they will know that my blood pressure is okay the next time I go into the office. So, you know.
Right. Yeah. So I get this. I get this text from my doctor that says, and this is Holt, I mean, you'll appreciate this. He says, hey, it's time for you to come in for me to look at you. And I said, listen, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in my life right now. I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with that. My work schedule is insanity. Is it okay if we do a televisit? He comes back and says, yeah, we can do a televisit, but you still have to come in for blood work. And I'm like, if I have to come in anyway, why would I do both? That just didn't make any damn sense. I'm like, never mind, I'll figure it out when to come in and see you. It's like I'm trying to avoid the trip to your damn office, and now you're telling me I got to come in. Oh, yeah, you can do that, but you got to come anyway. I'm like, really? Wow, brilliant. Okay. So I got to ask, as far as your products go, there are still products available, are there not?
There are, okay, just not from me. People
right.
can still get the Wicked Witch Mojo candles and the Wicked mm-hmm. Witch Mojo oils, the mm-hmm. regular ones, not the special edition ones, but the regular ones, the ones that go with the regular
right.
candles. And they can
yep.
get them probably at, you know, online. They can get them at online stores.
Yep.
They can get them directly from Coventry Creations.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yes, you know, they can even get them. I think they're being offered by some online stores, like on Amazon still. So,
yep. I just,
so those are,
so
you
know
that stuff is
there.
Available. Yeah.
Yeah.
The sprays are not available anymore, except I think that the Conjure Shop in Omaha probably mm-hmm. still has some because they placed a huge order. And so if people go online and they Google the Conjure Shop in Omaha, Nebraska, they should be able to come up with that. They'll come up with the website, and it might come up as Mama Izzy's Hoodoo. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
and just inquire, and if they've still got some, yeah, you know, you can get them there too.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of my shops that are local still have some supplies as well. I
yeah.
want folks to understand that they can still get Wicked Witch Mojo products. They just can't get them directly from you anymore. So it's not like your supply has not yet been cut off, folks. Go out and still get your candles and your oils because you know you need them. Because I still swear by all my stuff, and I've got a ton of it, and I love it all, and you can't have any. You got to get your own. That's just me.
Well, you know, and I paid for the Wicked Witch Studios website domain for several years in advance, and I took down all
mm-hmm.
the pages, all the product pages. I left the opening page up because there may come a time that I want to do some little special something still.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was important for me to keep the website. For example, when September rolls around, I may
mm-hmm.
Actually have Halloween candles for sale. That kind of thing. So, you know, and occasionally I don't know, people have kind of been, I've gotten a lot of emails about people going, oh, my God, are you going to do the blessing ornaments for 2025? And I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because they they really do take an exorbitant amount of time and effort.
They do. I know.
And
mm-hmm.
you know, because, you know, every little layer has to be funneled into an ornament and measured and all this kind of stuff. And so, you know, we'll just, I don't know about that. We'll just have to see. But I'm kind of keeping my options open so that
good.
In case I want to do some kind of a special event, I can still do it. And nobody will have swiped that website domain because that could be
good.
Very confusing to people. So, you know, and in the meantime, you know, people can go over to DorothyMorrison.com and they can buy my books. So
yes.
there's that.
Yes. Speaking of your books, My understanding is that there is a reissue of Bud, Blossom, and Leaf.
Yes, yes, and the cover is gorgeous. Yes, there
it
is.
It really is. Oh, my gosh. What was the impetus? Oh, I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
I got an email out of the blue a while back from someone at Crossed Crow Books, and they wanted to know if I was interested in selling them the rights to it, because I've had the rights back for a while. And I said, well, you know, probably. And so we talked a little bit, and finally I said, yeah, you know, I think I might want to do this. And so they sent me a contract, and I have to tell you, these people are fabulous. There were a few things in the contract that I kind of decided that I did not want to do. And so I sent them a letter and told them, you know, okay, you know, I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do this, but the rest of it's fine. And I told Mark, I said, you know, this may be a deal breaker for them. I don't know. But if it is, I'm no worse off than I was, you know, before, because I've been sitting on these rights for a long time. So anyway, they came back and they said, oh, yeah, that's all fine. It's not a big deal. And they sent me a revised contract, and that was great. And the editor was fabulous to work with. And then I got an email from Wick Malloy, and he and his brother own a store called Malloy Brothers in Chicago. But he is also in charge of cover art for these books, for Cross Crow. And so I told him what I was thinking about, you know, what I would kind of like to see. And he is an amazing artist. He is amazing. And he sent me three sketches, and I picked one, and we talked color-wise. And then he sent me two different color-wise of this cover. And the cover is amazing, absolutely amazing. And so anyway, yes, so this book was just released in March, and there has been a great response to it, and I'm very, very excited about that. So anyway, I just, I just finally got Bud, Blossom, and Leaf back up on my DorothyMorrison.com website. So if people are interested in an autographed copy of it, they can find that in the library section at DorothyMorrison.com and buy one.
Yay! That's awesome. So I've got
and there's other news.
Now
there's other news, too.
Oh, there's other news. Oh, good.
Yes.
Oh, hit me with the other news, please. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Not only did Cross Crow Books release Bud, Blossom, and Leaf again, they obtained the rights to, and I'm really excited about this, they got the rights back to Everyday Tarot Magic.
Ooh!
And that's been out of print forever.
Yeah.
And I think that is, I'm pretty sure that's going to be released spring of next year. And I can't share it yet, but Wick and I have already talked about the cover for that. And you know, this is really, really funny, because most cover art now is AI generated, and it's crappy.
Yeah.
And so when I was thinking about this, I went over to Amazon and, you know, typed it in tarot book in the search engine, and every tarot book I found was ugly. Every single one. Nondescript.
Yeah.
You know, really dull colors. None of that. You know, I mean, it was just awful. And I thought, golly damn, you know, covers often sell your book.
Sure.
And so I got in touch with Storm Sestavani. And I said, mm-hmm. So Storm, if you were going to do a tarot book, what would you like to have on the cover? And so he told me. And I said, mm-hmm, you're not planning on doing a tarot book, are you? And he said, no. And I said, okay. Can I steal your idea? And he said, yeah. And so I sent Wick an email, and I told him exactly what I wanted. And it was a little difficult to explain, but he sent me three sketches. And, you know, and the sad thing was, there was something that I liked a whole lot about each one of them. Mm-hmm. But none of them was quite right. And I realized that it was only, the reason that nothing was quite right, it had to do with two minor details. And so I picked one and told him, if you just do this and this, I think this would be perfect. And so he sent me the sketch. It was fabulous. He colored it, and it is done in golds and plums, and it is beautiful.
Colors, very rich colors.
Yes.
I love that.
Well, yeah, because I'm kind of a jewel-toned color girl.
You are.
I like rich colors. And
oh, yeah.
I don't like muted, nondescript stuff. I'm not a fan of pastels, you know, and so, you know, but he draws all this stuff by hand, and he's just amazing. And I've had so much hassle over the years with cover artists,
mm-hmm.
and so this is really refreshing. So I'm all excited about that. That is the only thing that has been done thus far on Everyday Tarot Magic, but that's okay. We have nailed the cover down, so that's good.
Yeah, it's wonderful because it's like all of a sudden, you know, you sort of retire, kind of, sort of, because you're still working. I mean, it's not like you're not working. So it just kind of seems like this was the time for a re-release, a refresh, for a new audience even, for your books. And I think that's beautiful. What great timing.
Well, yeah, it is great timing. You know, when I was going through Bud Blossom and Leaf, I was still in the middle of really, really busy with the business when I was going through edits and all this kind of stuff. But now this is going to be much easier for me because I don't have that going on. And Cross Crow Books is also looking at Empraise the Crone, and they're looking at Enchantments of the Heart. And so, you know, but it's kind of like one thing at a time here. So we will
yeah.
see if they're also interested in those. And, you know, and so, you know, if they are, that would be fabulous, just fabulous, because those have been out of print for a very long time, too. And you're right about new audiences, because Bud Blossom and Leaf has been out of print so long that people don't mm-hmm. even remember that it was released before, unless, of course, they had the original, you know, copy, which is still... You know, it's still the same version. Nothing has really been changed. And so,
right.
But, you know, but Blossom and Leaf is such a fun book because not only does it tell you, you know, how to plan your garden, this and that and the other, so on and so forth. It, you know, if you're a magical practitioner, you know, the things that you should do. But it's also
mm-hmm.
got recipes for almost any kind of herbal thing you could possibly want to make, bath and beauty stuff, insect repellents, household cleaners that you can use your harvest for. There is even a recipe for herbal wine. from scratch.
Impressive. Unbelievable. Well, because that book was originally released in 2001, was it not?
I think so. Right around that time.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's so exciting that new people get to actually experience this book because, you know, when things go out of print, I mean, I hate to say this, but sometimes they are just lost to time. And the idea that there is this Dorothy Morrison resurgence in interest is just, I think it's fantastic. I think it's like a second, isn't it like a second career all over again? Although you've already done all the work.
You know, it kind of is. You know, when I'm going back through these books, though, you know, there are a few things, okay, that I have looked at because I'm rereading them, you know, and it's like, oh, you know what, that was okay for that time, but this is a different age that is not okay for now. And so sometimes there are things that need to be reworded or things that need to be updated. And right. But, you know, it's kind of like a rebirth for me. And, so I am very, very excited about this. And I'm kind of keeping my fingers crossed that, you know, they pick up the rest of my out-of-print books, too, because here's, you know, shopping around for a publisher to pick up your out-of-print books, it takes time. Mm-hmm. And Crosscrow, you know, is dealing with some fabulous authors, you know, because I researched them before I said, yes, I'd be interested. You know, they've picked up all of Gramasi's out-of-print books.
Wow.
They've picked up Trish Telesco's out-of-print books.
Really?
They, you know, some of Deborah Blake's out-of-print books. You know, if you go and look who their authors are, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, these are authors that I either know personally or I have not met personally, but I respect. And so, you know, and they do such a good job, and everybody there is so easy to work with. The Condor Shop in Omaha did my book launch for Bud Blossom and Leaf. And I put Nikki in touch with their marketing person at Crosscrow. And they sent Nikki some absolutely fabulous marketing materials. And, you know, cards to put in bags that talked about the book but gave the book launch dates and so on and so forth. And, I mean, it was like, boom, they sent her a ton of stuff that she could actually use. Because a lot of times publishers will send a bunch of stuff, but it's nothing that's really usable.
Okay.
Well, you know, I've been on a lot of book tours.
I know.
And I have, over the years, and I have seen some stuff that was like, what were they thinking?
Yeah, I'm sure, I don't doubt it. But now that you're having this resurgence in your book, which I'm sorry, I just think that's just incredible and wonderful that your work gets to be recognized again as opposed to you having to start. Like, I can't even imagine being an author because I think it is such a daunting task and really difficult. So I have great respect for authors. But,
you know, I don't think it's all that hard.
Well, because you do it.
Well, okay, but here's the thing. You know, I think it has to do with your mindset more than anything.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Every time I sat down to write a book, I wrote that book so that I would have all of the information in one place for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And well, really, I mean, it's like with Bud Blossom and Leaf. I wanted to know where that information was. So if I wanted to make this thing, or I wanted to do some little ritual, or I wanted to revamp things in my flower beds, or, you know, whatever, okay, I wanted to know where it was. Because I am famous for having little slips of paper and stuff scattered all over the place. And so this is in a book, and so I know where the information is. And the other thing is, you know, most authors, I'm not like most authors. I'm a little different in the way that I work things. Most authors go, okay, this many words is equal to a completed manuscript. I'm not that author. I know that 300 pages, 300 double-spaced pages with one-inch margins, top, bottom, right, and left, is a manuscript. And so every day my goal was 3 pages a day. Have to. Can't get up until I write 3 pages a day. Because standard contract says that you have to have, you have exactly 6 months from the date of you sign that contract to the day you have to turn in that manuscript. 6 months. That's it. So 3 pages a day. If I, you know, and there were days when I would zip off 3 pages in 20 minutes. And then I could get up and do whatever I wanted to. I was done. Or if I was on a roll and I wrote 15 pages that day, that did not relieve me of the responsibility to write 3 pages the next. That was my discipline. And what that meant was within 1 month, I would have at least 90 pages done, which meant that I would have at least one-third, just almost one-third of the book done.
Right.
So I always came in way under deadline.
Mhm. Wow.
And then
it
was going to be a little bit. It was, you know, and that meant it was going to be a little bit, you know, before my editor got to my book. So I had a little bit of free time before we were doing questions and answers and edits.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't think it's all that hard. It's because I had a schedule that I kept to.
It's not just a schedule, though. I mean, I'm undisciplined as the day is long to begin with, and that would be even if I had the talent to write, which I do not. So for me, it's like the few times I have ever tried to write, I mean, it's one thing to write spells. I can write spells, because they are short, concise, and all, you know, and it's inclusive in its own thing. But to sit down and write a book, first of all, I'm not experienced enough on anything to know anything, and I'm very good with that, and I recognize that about myself. We are not an expert on shit, which is how this whole show started in the first place, because I don't know shit about shit, and I want to learn shit before I die. Which I am fortunate enough to do from the show and wonderful guests like yourself. But it's not just that I'm undisciplined. When I have tried to write in the past a story or a book, which I have tried a couple of times, I get the worst case of blockage, of fed up, of I can't do it. And it's one of the few things in life that I give up on readily. So I guess it's just not for me, but that should not inform anyone else's decision about whether or not they are a writer. I just believe that there are enough good writers as yourself. I mean, especially your books, because I've been learning from you since before we even ever spoke. You know, if you find someone you can trust who's informed books give you good advice, give you solid foundation. I mean, this is why, as a young witch, go and look for books, you know, from people who had obviously a lot more knowledge than we did. And I'm still in awe of how much you've written. Utterly Wicked is still one of the greatest witchcraft books ever written. I said it. There you go. And I've said it many times,
you.
And it still holds to be true, in spite of the plethora of wonderful books that I am presented with on a monthly basis. So, you know, I don't feel badly about not being able to write a book myself because I got you.
Well, I think you're way too hard on yourself. You know, you like to talk. And you like to visit with people, okay? And the way that I write is that you talked about, oh my God, you know, just couldn't get the words to come, blah 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 blah. There have been days when I sat in front of my desktop and I watched the cursor and I prayed for words to appear. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like you sweat blood. And you're starting to feel like that cursor is your heartbeat.
Oh my
it's like,
gosh.
Damn it, you know, damn it. But when I get to that point, I think, okay, now, here's what I need to write about. If I were sitting across the table from someone with a cup of coffee, what would I tell them about this? And that's what I write, just like I was having a conversation with somebody. And so, you know, now, I am delighted that Cross Crow is putting these books back in print because I really don't think I will ever write another book. It's, you know, there are authors who write because they can't help themselves. I am not that person. You're laughing,
but... Wait. I got to ask, what do you mean by can't help themselves?
They have to write. They have to. It is as second nature to them as breathing.
Okay.
They have to. They are not the person who sits with a pad by the phone and draws little scribbles. They actually draw little words. I mean, they have to write, okay? I'm not that person. And I once kind of got into it with a publisher who said to me, if I would write a good book, perhaps, another good book, like Everyday Magic or maybe The Craft, maybe my royalties would be more. And so, I responded that I wasn't like the rest of their authors. I didn't have to sit in front of my computer and write all day. And if my royalties weren't more, you know, then that had nothing to do with anything. I wrote because I like to eat. And if my royalties dried up, I would be just as happy flipping burgers at Burger King. Either way, I was going to make money and pay my bills. So, and what I got back was a stare. This person stared at me as if I had three heads, like they'd never heard such in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
But, if I were having to support my family and I couldn't find anything else, I'd dig ditches if I had to.
I know.
So
I know. I know that about you. You do what needs to be done.
You know, because people have responsibilities.
Yeah.
And this is why I tell young authors, don't quit your day job yet. You know, write. You know, write those books, send them in to your publisher, but don't quit your day job yet, because you're going to need that to pick up the slack. Because authors only get paid royalties twice a year, and it's it's a pittance. It really is. You know, I think a lot of people, young authors, think they're going to make a fortune, but you're not going to make a fortune as a pagan author or as a New Age author or as an author in a small niche, okay? You're not. You know, the only people who make huge royalties are people like James Patterson and Stephen King and Heather Graham and, you know.
Yeah. That's true. It's true. I think that some folks are under this delusion that they're going to turn out the greatest thing since sliced bread and that the money is just going to roll in and they can quit their day jobs. And it's like, I don't think people starting out realize what a commitment it is to, number one, put yourself out there. I mean, you are literally taking stuff from your own insides and putting it on a page for people to read, judge, use. Because people are good. As much as people have feelings about everything, books were like the first thing they had major feelings about and made it very public. So, I mean, it's like the original proving ground for your thoughts and ideas and how you were judged as a human being if you were willing to be a writer.
They are still very judgmental, okay? People are judgmental about all sorts of things. And so I'm going to go on record as saying, if you squeeze toothpaste out of the tube, you cannot put it back in.
Correct.
Now, there's a reason I'm saying that up front, okay? You know, I have taken an awful lot of flack for just like in reviews on Amazon and so on and so forth because, oh, my God, I have appropriated someone's culture. Okay, so now, one of the things is cultural appropriation of the Native American tradition. Folks, I was taught how to make a dream catcher in brownies. Now, you know, and that was when I was 6 years old, and I'm now 69.
Yeah.
So this is how long the toothpaste has been out of the tube. There are other things that I was taught very early on. It's not a matter of cultural appropriation. It is a matter of what was taught to people of my generation, not just, you know, magical practitioners. And I never claimed to be anyone that I wasn't, okay? I practice folk magic, Southern folk magic. Okay? And that draws from all aspects. It just does. You grew up in the South, you learn things. I grew up with black people. There were black people at our house all the time. They taught me all kinds of things. I knew nothing. You know, the first time, I think I was 4 years old, the first time I saw someone perform a curse. But I knew what it was. You know, spitting both hands, clap them together, I knew. I witnessed it, okay? I found out about tree whisperers when I was about 7 or 8. There were things that I found out about the magic in an 8-stranded endless braid from the old man who came to shoe our horses.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, you know, there were things that I grew up with, some healing methods, which we now see as magical, okay? But everybody's grandmother knew them.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, but I think the funniest thing that ever happened to me, you know, cultural appropriation usually isn't funny. I mean, being accused of it, but there was a time when I just howled with laughter. In fact, I spit coffee on my monitor, and it took me forever to clean all that up. several years back, someone told me that I had made the list of BNPs who were guilty of cultural appropriation. And they sent me a link. And I thought, all right, let's take a look. And this thing is, this link is pages and pages long, okay? La, 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 la. And I keep going down, and I keep going down, and I keep going down. And I finally come to my name, and it says, Dorothy Morrison has made a fortune.
Fortune?
A fortune, okay. Via cultural appropriation of hoodoo and, wait for it, stuff.
Did you say stuff?
I said S-T-U-F-F, stuff. Hoodoo and stuff. Everybody else's name, I mean, it was like they actually said what they were being accused of being guilty of, right? But mine was the only one that said stuff. And I thought, my God, if you can't even clarify, this was, I mean, what the hell is that? I'm guilty of appropriating hoodoo and stuff? Really?
Wow. That's a reach. That's a bit of a reach. To say just stuff is not really... I'm sorry. I think in a court of law, I don't think I could get away with saying he did stuff to me.
Or exactly.
They did stuff to me. I think I would be laughed out of the room. You got to come with actual receipts, people. I'm just saying. Stuff is not a receipt.
So I got tickled with that. And I thought, well, bully for you, Dorothy, you made the list. And generally, you know, someone once told me that when people were bitching about you, you had arrived. Because obviously you had hit a nerve somewhere. And it was time to celebrate.
Okay. So. I agree. But, you know, things have obviously been interesting in my life, and you know, when I talk to my sister, and my sister is a public person as well, and I, you know, she tells me some stories sometimes that make my hair stand on end, and she's a teacher, so I'm like, wow, that's really interesting, and she's like, yeah, you know, sometimes I get this bad press, and I said, I've learned something. Don't read your press. Don't read any of your press. Because if you read any of it, you have to believe all of it. Your best bet is to ignore it.
Yeah.
And that is how I have survived for the last going on 13 years doing this. It's like, you know what? If everyone loves you, then you're just kissing some butt. And you're not really doing anything. When you get people pissed off and saying stuff along the lines of, oh, my God, she is so fucking annoying, and she curses so fucking much, and yes.
Oh, they don't say that.
Oh, yes, they have. Oh, yes, they have. And no one gives a shit about her ex-husband, and nobody gives a shit about this or a shit about that. And I'm like, you know what someone does? So have a nice fucking day. But then, you know, you get other stuff like people saying, thank you for talking about your experience with this situation or that situation. And I felt alone until you said this or that or something that folks can relate to. And you know what? It's worth getting slammed for me. I don't, because the slams are like, well, there's other shit to listen to. If you don't
you
want
know.
To listen to me, there's no gun to your fucking head. Relax.
When I was a kid, my mother was the epitome of the Southern Belle. And when I was a kid, we could say hell and damn, but that was it. And I once got grounded for 3 weeks for saying, and mind you, I think I was a senior in high school when this happened, for saying something looked like shit. Because we didn't say that word. Yeah, okay. So, anyway, my half-sister, my older half-sister, you know, 15 years older than I am, said to me after I was grown, she said, honey, you have the face of an angel, but you have the mouth of a Marine drill sergeant, okay? And she said, one day, she said, that nasty mouth is going to serve you well. And you know what? She's been dead for years. But every once in a while, I tell her, Joanna, you were right, because that nasty mouth made me relatable.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know, because then...
It's in the paperwork.
If
you have to be so pious and you have to keep your shit together every 5 seconds and you can't let loose with a little something, I got to question how you're holding your life together, because we all get frustrated. We all have to cut loose sometimes. And, I mean, it's in the paperwork when you come to be a guest on this show that there is cussing. And if you're not good with that, you don't need to show up.
Well, you know, and I learned, too, you know, and I was giving classes and stuff, you know. Everybody, you know, would be sitting in rows, you know, in these chairs and stuff. And they were all kind of, you know, buttoned down looking and this and that. And the first time that I dropped the F-bomb in the middle of a class, not in anger, just dropped it, there was an audible gasp, and then there was laughter, and you could see everyone's shoulders relax.
Yep.
And I became one of the guys.
Oh, yeah.
And that made a difference.
It really did. Absolutely. I totally agree with you. You just got to, I mean, sometimes you just got to let your hair down and be who you are. And I'm, at this age, in my 60s as well, you know, a firm believer in, look, I am not standing on fucking ceremony, and that's it.
There is a time.
Or you're avoiding me. Yeah, I mean,
there's a time and a place for everything, you know, and I get that too. But, you know, I am too old to be worried too much about who I am trying to be somebody I'm not, okay? I've never really done that, but it has become easier for me to say no. And it is, and of course, and some idiot will always ask you, why not? And now my response is, because I don't want to. Well, there's nothing really that they can say to that, so they leave me alone, you know.
Exactly, you know, and I'm just amazed that as women it takes us, for whatever reason, so long to say, you know what, no is a good enough answer for you.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to explain. It, you know, and I feel, I'm kind of disappointed with myself sometimes, because there were so many instances when I was a lot younger that I should have said no. And just didn't have the courage to do it. So I'm going to tell you that no is one of my favorite words in the world. Don't wait until you're in your 60s to start using it. I didn't start
using it
until I was in my 40s, and that was too long.
It was too long for me too, Raina. It was.
Yeah.
And I should have said no a long time ago too. And I should have stopped explaining myself a long time ago. And I don't know why we as women, I think it's more we as women than maybe guys as men. Okay, we feel like we need to explain. And, you know, it has also gotten to the point with me, well, and this happened probably 30 years ago when I started feeling this way. It is, I don't have to, you know, you don't have to think I'm right. about anything. You don't. Nobody has to. It is, and if it's an argument, I don't have to get the last word anymore either. It is okay for me to turn on my heel, walk away, know that I'm right and you're stupid. That's okay, you know.
But yeah, it's knowing when to quit without making yourself insane. Because, you know, it used to be when I would get into a, for example, my first husband, we get into a disagreement, he'd tell me I'm crazy. He would keep saying it until I would act crazy saying I wasn't.
Exactly.
So I found out that my biggest weapon against him was to stay extremely calm and say that all day. It doesn't make it. You're actually the one who's crazy. And he didn't like that one bit. And it took years. I mean, years after we split up for me to master that. I mean, I didn't get that until almost the end of the second marriage. It's like, yeah. Don't wait to say no, ladies. Seriously. Folks, if you feel like you're in an abusive situation, I'm going to do this PSA real quick. If you feel like you're in an abusive situation, you probably are. And I'm going to tell you that to stand up for yourself is the kind of thing you can do for yourself, your children, and the people around you. Because ain't nobody going to respect a doormat. PSA over. Thank you.
Yes, I agree. As far as I'm concerned, you could say that a few more times.
And I'm sure I have. And I'm sure I will. But, Dorothy, I'm so happy you came by to hang out with me for this hour. And the hour's, like, up already. But once again, congratulations on being like coming back into the limelight with reprints of your out of print books. This is so exciting.
Well, I have Cross Crow Books to thank for that, and I am very, very grateful because it was not something that I anticipated. But hooray, it made me smile and it makes me want to do a jig. I'm very excited.
That's so wonderful. And I guess it needed, you know, the universe had you know, been like, okay, when she stops doing this, we're going to start doing this, and I guess you need the time. So that's really kind of exciting, and it gives me hope to know that your books are Cross Crow, if you're listening, bring everything. I'm just saying, bring back that whole catalog, whatever you can get. That would be phenomenal, and again, introducing you to a whole new generation of witches and practitioners is just really phenomenal and exciting, and I'm so happy for you. I can't even tell you.
Well, thank you so much. I have so enjoyed being on, and our hour is almost done, isn't it?
It sure is. But I love you and I respect you, and I thank you so much for coming on. And of course, you'll be back on in December because that's what we do.
Yes, indeed. That is what we do. Thank you so much for everything. You have a wonderful day. And I love you.
You too, Ms. Dorothy. I love you too. Thank you again.
Bye.
Bye.